Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You're listening to Chicago's afternoon news here on 720 WGN. All right, they're working on the redistricting for the legislative boundaries in the state of Illinois. The Senate has been holding some hearings. I think the House is going to start holding their hearings a little bit later this week. It's fouled up because they generally rely on census data, but the census data is delayed because of the pandemic. Now, the state constitution says there's got to be the new map drawn by June 30th, and we're not going to have the census numbers by June 30th, so that creates some problems. Senator Dan McConkie joins us on a phone line now. He is the Republican leader in the Illinois Senate. He's got some solutions. Senator, welcome back.
Good to be on with you again, Steve.
I appreciate you joining us. All right. Tell me, I described the problem a little bit there, but that's kind of a secondary problem. The districts are, the maps are a problem in and of themselves, no matter whether there's a pandemic, census numbers or not. But tell me about the People's Independent Maps Act.
Yeah, so what the Constitution actually says is that if the legislature wants to retain the power, if you will, to draw the map, they have to do that by June 30. If it doesn't happen, right, there's no new map drawn by June 30, then it goes to a bipartisan commission, four Democrats, four Republicans who do that, and there's a process. But the final map, actually, according to the Constitution, doesn't have to be drawn until October 5th.
Okay, now, let's just go back to that legislative committee, the four and four. If they're tied on the map, I think this is amazing. Something is important to this. How is it decided?
So then it goes to the state Supreme Court, puts two individuals, one Democrat, one Republican's name, into a replica of Abe Lincoln's hat and actually pulls it out of the hat to determine who has partisan control of that process.
And then so whoever pulls the name out of the hat or gets their name pulled out of the hat, they pretty much decide how the lines are going to be drawn, or their party does.
Yes, exactly. And if you go back historically, you know, this is what had happened back in 1981, 1991, and 2001. All three times, the legislature missed the deadline of June 30. It went to a bipartisan commission. They couldn't get their act together, and it went to this process in which, partisan control got pulled out of a hat.
Now, but that's less likely this time, right? The Democrats have super majorities, so they should be able to, if they can agree on a plan themselves, get it through the legislature.
Well, that's, they would need to pass it through the legislature, and then the governor either sign or veto. And if he vetoes it, it has to come back to the legislature for an override of that veto. Now, all of that, again, has to happen, the entire process, either signed into law, a new map, or a veto override, has to happen by June 30 for the legislature to be able to retain power, retain control over how to draw the map.
Okay, so there's that. That's what the existing system. But really, we're here to talk about maybe an alternative. This FAIR, People's Independent Maps Act, which would set up an independent commission?
Yes, exactly. So what it would do is it would actually follow. So, you know, last legislative session, actually, Senate Democrats, Julie Morrison, a Democrat from Lake Forest, Deerfield area, what she did was she actually proposed a constitutional amendment to change this entire process and put it into the hands of an independent commission. 16 people that are drawn, that are independent, that would be able to do this, modeled after what happened, has done successfully in other states, to take the map drawing process out of the hands of politicians, right, where politicians are actually picking their voters instead of the other way around. And interestingly enough, her proposal, when it was put forward last time, had 37 co-sponsors in the Senate. This is a supermajority of the Senate that backed this exact idea. We lifted it word for word from what she did a couple of years ago and copied that over to put it in statute and be able to apply this time. And guess what? Through this process, we'd be able to actually use the real census data, not any sort of survey data, American Community Survey, or anything like this, that the Democrats are currently proposing to be able to draw the partisan map that they want to do.
But, Senator, this fair map idea was put on the ballot, right, or was going to be put on the ballot a couple of years ago, and the state Supreme Court struck it down?
So what happened there was 600,000 people went and signed a petition saying they wanted to put it onto the ballot. So this, I think, was back for, in 2016. The Supreme Court struck down the people's ability to be able to put it onto the ballot themselves. So Senator Morrison took this instead proposed it to amend the Constitution where the legislature would give approval, right, to be able to put it on the ballot. We've done this before. We did it to help protect the road fund, you know, and things like that. So it's routine for the legislature to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot. But at the end of the day, I mean, there is no constitutional issue with us doing what it is that we're proposing here. We're proposing to do via statute what Senator Morrison wanted to do via constitutional amendment.
And it's hard to overstate, I think, how important this is, because this is how we get extremists on either side when the maps are drawn to be incredibly safe for Republicans or incredibly safe for Democrats. What you then have are the fights within the parties for those seats, and primary voters tend to be extremist, whether they're left or right, and we just become further polarized. And Congressman Mike Quigley, a friend of mine, I like him, he does a good job. We were looking at his district today. He represents both Wrigley Field and Hinsdale. You know, and I know you know this, but it's like a horseshoe around Chuy Garcia's district. I mean, it's just crazy the way these districts are drawn. Okay, so you would have an independent commission set up by the Illinois Supreme Court?
Right. So they'd pick these members, put them onto the commission, and there would be protections. You'd have to have minorities on there. You would have to have women on there. You would have to have communities of interest. There would be rules associated with it to ensure that you can't break up communities of interest, you know, and spread them out. There would be protections for minority groups. We'd have to obviously comport with the Voting Rights Act to protect minority rights. All of these things would be outlined in the legislation in order to give clear protections to every group within the state, no matter how small.
And they would then come upon a plan. Now, the Supreme Court would appoint these people, but the Supreme Court can be partisan as well. I mean, what's the check there?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, this is to be a transparent process, right? I mean, I think that, you know, we just had an election, right, a retained election to determine whether or not we were going to retain Justice Kilbride, who actually was the deciding vote and the person that authored the decision to strike down the people's effort to put redistricting reform onto the map a few years ago. The people tossed him out of office, and we're going to have elections that are coming up for the state Supreme Court, and this entire process is going to be transparent. Who's on there, what their backgrounds are, and so forth. It would certainly be my hope and expectation that these Supreme Court members are also subject, if you will, to, you know, making sure that the people look at it and say, this is a fair process that they've been involved in.
I want to clean something up, so give me 10 seconds on this. I said the census numbers wouldn't be ready. Instead, the legislature would be relying on the American Community Survey numbers. Those are census numbers as well, right? Why is it that they wouldn't be sufficient?
Because the census goes and counts everyone. And the American Community Survey data is only a small sampling, a few percent of the entire population of Illinois. So you don't use a survey in order to do the actual count that the census requires. The census data goes all the way down to essentially like the half acre level, right?
I got you.
The American Community Survey data is down what's called the block level, which is not like a city block. It's actually like a big group of blocks. So you can't get to the level of specificity necessary, especially for congressional maps, right? So there's a little bit of leeway between state legislative districts. You know, one can be slightly more than another. They don't have to be 100%, you know, equivalent.
Sure.
But the congressional districts are required by federal law to be equal.
Speaker Welch and Governor Pritzker have spoken in favor of something similar to this, right? Do you expect to have bipartisan support? And I'm sorry, we got to run after this. So what's your answer?
Well, it's certainly my hope so. You know, the governor has before he gave $50,000 toward the effort to put fair maps onto the ballot before. He has said he publicly during his campaign that he would not support a map drawn by politicians. This is a way he can honor that promise.
Senator Dan McConkie, the Republican leader in the Illinois Senate. It's always great to talk to you, Senator. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. We're going to head into the newsroom coming up.